Welcome to the Weekly Hotspot, kink conversation, BDSM advice, insight from the worlds of distance domination and phone sex. We are your hosts, Mistress Delia, and I'm Ms. Olivia. Today's topic, how to hide your fetish or talk about your kink with your partner. Ms. Delia, it's the holiday, and one thing we hear from people all the time is, oh my God, the holiday is so stressful because I have to hide my fetish. So let's talk about how to hide your fetish, and we'll start off with Ms. Delia, did you ever have to hide your fetish?
I have had to hide my fetish from time to time, of course. I think anyone who is kinky has had to hide their fetish for sure. In vanilla work, I might think about things that are kinky or naughty, but I could never bring my fetish out in public. My goodness, no. But even just with family and some friends, I have not shared that I am a distance dominatrix with all of the people in my life. So I would say I have had to hide my fetish.
I think that's completely appropriate. So for example, the people that I go to yoga with, I don't talk to them about my personal life. Hi, I like to give blowjobs. Do you swallow? Oh, and what do you think of the sun salute? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, no, that's weird. So I think there's having to hide your fetish versus appropriate boundaries. And you and I are all about appropriate boundaries. But I think sometimes when you hide it, at least for me, when I have to hide something and I feel like I should be able to talk about it, that's when it gets really uncomfortable or damaging, personally damaging. Does that make sense?
Oh, it really, really does. It's difficult. And we both do distance domination phone sex as part of our job for work. And I find, especially at holiday time, or when there are big family gatherings, someone will without a doubt ask me, what do you do for work?
What do you say? We talk about cum eating. Can you pass the gravy?
Yum, yum. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's hard sometimes because there are some people in my family at these gatherings who know exactly what I do. And they kind of sit back and smile. And then I say what I'm going to say, what I already have prepared generally. And there you go. It's just what you do. And I think what you said about appropriate sexual boundaries is a good thing. Now, what about you? Have you ever had to hide your fetish in a specific place?
I think for sure with work, I am all about appropriate boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I have family that know what I do and are like, oh yeah, whatever. And I have family that don't know what I do. And they are of an age that it's not appropriate that I tell them what I do. And I would never. I have people that are friends that know what I do. I have people that are friends that don't know what I do. So it really depends on the relationship, the style of relationship, etc. But I'm pretty lucky in my personal life in that I am one of these people. I no longer have to hide my fetish and hide my kinks. I have kind of negotiated that part of my own personal erotic pleasure and sexuality. Whereas years ago, when I was, gosh, in my early 20s, I was dating this guy. he said, let's talk about our intimate sexual fantasies. What are some of your sexual fantasies? And I'm like, oh, and I had one that I hadn't told anybody. And he said, oh, it's completely safe. Tell me. So I looked at him and I said, well, you know, I'm really curious about anal. I'd like to try anal. And he looked at me and he goes, oh my God, that's so gross. Ew. And it shut me down for years. I mean, I was mortified. I felt dirty. I was embarrassed, and not the good kind of erotic humiliation, fun embarrassment. It was awful. And I think at that moment, I think of that moment every time someone calls me and says, I'm going to be with the family on a holiday, and I know I'm going to have to think about the things that give me erotic pleasure on the down low. And I think that's like really sad.
I agree. And I speak to a lot of men who really have questions about this, who use, I would say, us as a sounding board about their kinks.
Oh, now that's a good point. So say a little bit more about that. What do you mean as a sounding board?
Well, I think that when someone calls us, just because of the nature of what we do, distance, domination, phone sex, just because of that, they know that right away they have a safe place to be able to talk about their fetishes that they would normally have to hide.
That's absolutely true. Have you ever like said to someone, hey, it's okay. You don't have to hide your fetish with us. Like, what do you want to talk about? Cock sucking? And you hear this gasp on the phone. And he's like, I've never said that out loud before.
Right.
Like, that's okay. Let's talk about you sucking cock. It's a popular fetish.
Absolutely. And it's, for me, not just cock sucking. Maybe the most popular one that I hear about is, mistress, I want to go buy pretty lingerie. And oh my goodness, wow, that is a great fetish. You don't have to hide your fetish. When you talk to us, we can help you to figure out all of those wonderfully kinky things and how to bring them into your life.
And how to enjoy them in a very safe way. Yes. So you and I both talk to people. I'm going to use the cross-dressing or trans girl or sissy play as the perfect example. There are some people that we talk to that they say, no, because of work, because of family, I don't ever want this erotic side of me to blend into my other life. I want to keep them totally separate. And I'm a fan of that. Each individual has to negotiate whether or not to blend all parts of their world or their life, and whether or not to keep them separate. So for those that do need to keep them separate, let's give some tips and advice on how to hide your fetish.
That is a great idea. I think the first thing that I would start with, if you have to hide your fetish, you have got to make sure when you are searching, watching porn about your fetish on the internet, whenever you are enjoying your fetish alone on your own time, there's something about privacy that is so important. So anytime you search something, it stays there. be aware of what you're looking at. Be aware of where your toys are. Have a wonderful, safe spot locked to put your things away in when you're not using them. And I think it's all about kink privacy, especially when you have to hide your fetish. You need to make sure that things are out of the way, that they're closed off, they're personal, they're locked away, they are safe and secure so that you can be as well.
One of the things that we hear from crossdressers and sissies, anyone who is into feminization, is, of course, purging. So they'll spend all of this money on hair, makeup, clothes, panties, stockings, shoes, sex toys, and then purge and throw away it all. I have a no-fail way to stop people from purging. That is, go and get a storage locker in your name. Don't put it on your credit card. Don't give them your home address. And pay cash for it. And go in and buy it for 6 months. Then go back and re-up it for 6 months. And hide all of your toys in the storage locker. Easy peasy. And then when you're not in a cycle where you're enjoying your kink or your fetish, lock them away. Go away. But then when it comes back, you still have your toys.
I think that is such wonderful advice. And I have given that same advice almost word for word exactly to anybody who has a history of purging, because it can just be so expensive. And even thinking more about when you have to hide your fetish, I think it's smart. Everybody's got a computer nowadays. Everybody has a phone. Everybody now has a browser history. So you've got to make sure that daily, if it's a shared computer in your family, you delete your stuff, that you actually actively research online how to make sure you can surf the web incognito.
I'm actually going to say, go get a burner phone, but don't explore your kink or your fetish on a shared computer. I had someone who his entire fantasy life was blown because his girlfriend was using his computer and he accidentally left Skype open, and he uses Skype for mistress play. Oh. So there was a mistress comment that popped up and she was like, oh, and she went in, she opened up his Skype because it was on his computer. It opened up automatically and she went through and she looked at every single message and came to him hurt, mad, upset, worried, and said, this is not normal. What are you doing? Why can't you be satisfied with normal sex? And it's just, it wrecked them as a couple and it wrecked him.
I bet it did. If your privacy is ever blown, if something happens and someone finds you out, it's probably best to sit down and have an open and honest conversation with your partner at that time, even though it's difficult and you are so used to hiding your fetish. Once the cat is out of the bag, it's best just to talk about it.
And we're going to do, towards the end of the podcast, we're going to do some specific tips about how to do that. But I wanted to talk to you. You mentioned the deleted browser histories, surf in the incognito mode. I want to give a shout out. Do not have your kink email as your Gmail. And if you get your kink email that you use to send us emails or surf various sites, et cetera, that you need to have an email for. Yahoo will need a phone number. Go get a burner phone and keep the two sides very separate. If you need an email that is totally private and encrypted, you can get Proton Mail, Proton Mail. You can use it a small amount for free, or you can get Hush Mail. And Hush Mail is, I think, $50 a year. But both of those are totally private, totally encrypted. Here's the problem of using Gmail. Gmail will blend your Gmail accounts. So you want to keep the two separate. It doesn't blend it all the time, but you sure don't want someone, you know, looking up your Gmail address and then finding your kink address, right?
Oh, that is so true. And I think there's, if you're saying, no, I don't need a burner phone, take a look at your phone the next time you have Google searched. Maybe you have a stocking fetish and you've Google searched back-seamed sexy stockings. You look at your phone, you look on your tablet, and if your Google accounts are indeed blended, you will probably see an ad on Facebook. You will see an ad on some web page that you pull up that is exactly what you were looking for. This happens to me, and it makes me go, that is really intriguing.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought of that. And listen, a burner phone, what? It's $25. Like, it's free practically.
Oh, absolutely. And when you are at a point in your life, and a lot of people are at this point for a very long time in their life, where you have to hide your fetish, I think it makes sense to spend $25 a month, $50 a year for a phone, for an email that makes sure that your fetish is safe, that you are safe and you are not going to be outed.
Right. Now, there are some secret Facebook groups, but honestly, I'm not a fan of any of those secret Facebook groups. Keep your fetish off of Facebook. That's at least my thought about Facebook. What do you think about Facebook and some of the secret groups?
I have joined a secret Facebook group once or twice, and I've always left because honestly, to me, it doesn't seem private, and I value my privacy. And for someone who says, I have to hide my fetish, I think staying away from things that are basically public, because you don't interact with all these people, you don't know who they are. They could be the neighbor across the street. They could be your boss. And who really needs that? So I say stay off of public social media forums like Facebook, because you just never know who is following you, who is looking at you. And again, you don't want to be outed. You have to be careful.
One option that we should tell people about is Enchantrix Empire. So go to enchantrixempire.com, get an account. You can go in, you post, mistresses post in there. You can interact with people. It's like the kinky adult social networking site. It's not as big as some of the other sites, but people have made like great connections and established fabulous friendships in there.
Absolutely. And I like to think of it as just a kinky way to come in, say hi in the morning to the kinky people, post up a kinky picture or a meme that you've seen online that really made you laugh that you can't share on your personal social media. EnchantrixEmpire.com is a super appropriate way to hide your fetish and keep your secret fetishes a secret.
So let's say you're outed. Should you talk with your partner about your kink? And if so, how do you go about it? So let's talk, should you? So if you're outed, well, then the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. But if you have the option of whether or not to say anything, there are some things to think about before you just charge out and have this conversation. What things do you suggest that people think about?
Well, honestly, I think the first thing that you have to think about is your relationship with your partner. If you have shared a lot of interesting things and your intimacy level is really strong and you're very close and you can kind of have some interesting conversations, you know, spirited, spicy conversations. I think if you have that type of intimacy with your partner, then it might be a good idea to allow yourself to open up, feel vulnerable, and take that risk about discussing your kinks. It's always hard to talk with your partner about kink. But if you have that wonderful relationship and you feel okay about it, I would say go for it. What do you think?
Well, I think if you have a passive-aggressive, things-unsaid, angry relationship with your partner, maybe you're not fighting all the time, but it's just kind of like kind of thing going on. I think one of the things to really think about before you make yourself this vulnerable to your partner is what could happen down the road. So if you are in a tricky situation, a tricky relationship, or any kind of problem within the relationship, err on the safe side, because you do not want your kinks, your fetishes, your intimate conversations to be used against you should the relationship dissolve. And you and I both have seen that happen, which is one of the reasons why it is so great that people have the opportunity to talk to us. We aren't going to out them. We aren't going to use it against them. I always say if Anthony Weiner had sent us dick pics, he would not have been in trouble. Like, don't talk to civilian women unless you are prepared for the conversation to backfire.
Oh, exactly. That is such a good point. Such a good point. And something else to consider is, and I have actually had this experience, let me tell you, I was dating someone. He seemed like he was a great guy, fun, adventurous, even a little bit naughty. And I shared some kinks with him about spanking and bondage. I was just in my, I think, mid-20s when I did this. And it was really sexy. We did have a good conversation. But I didn't know him like so well and to know what he would do with these things. But he went and told his parents. And it was so awkward. Oh my goodness.
It was so awkward.
Yes.
Oh God. Who tells them? Guess what my girlfriend told me? She wants to tie me up and spank my balls. Who says that? Well, oh my God.
He did. And it was really awkward because it did come out at a family dinner. And looking at it, hindsight being 2020, I should have thought, is this someone that I really want to have a future with? And if I had answered that question, honestly, I would have said, no, this is someone fun, but I don't really want to have this conversation with that person.
That's a great point. Is this someone you want to have a future with? If you are a cross-dresser and into feminization, and it is a big, big, big part of who you are and your psyche and your gender identity, in my experience, those things don't just magically disappear because you've gotten engaged to a vanilla woman. I suggest have the conversation before you get engaged or get married and have an honest conversation, because otherwise recognize that you'll have to hide your fetish the entire duration of your relationship. Some fetishes are fine to hide. Like if you want spanking occasionally or you want CBT occasionally, that in my experience is a little bit different than someone who needs to express their feminine side. Have you noticed that as well?
There are, yes, absolutely lots of differences with the types of fetish. When you're thinking about, should I hide my fetish? You know, if you can say yes to that, it maybe is because it's something that happens just every now and again, and it's not a huge, not overwhelming, not overtaking, but just, I think, a huge part of who you are, like another side of you. Like for me, I wouldn't consider being a femdom just a fetish, just a, it's just not. It's part of who I am. It's more. It's me. So I think what you're saying is very smart. If the kinkiness about you is really a part of who you are and not just an activity you do every now and again, getting a spanking, putting on a chastity cage for a little bit, maybe you dabble in a couple of different kinks. Maybe there's some cum eating that's fun, but you don't have to have it all the time. Then maybe it's appropriate to hide your fetish if you're not comfortable talking about it with your partner.
That brings up a really good point. I couldn't imagine being in a relationship with someone where I was passing myself off as Little Miss Vanilla. And I like vanilla sex. Hey, I'm a fan of vanilla sex. I think vanilla sex is awesome.
Me too.
Sometimes. But if I had to go into a relationship or monogamy, I'm polyamorous. So if I had to go into a relationship and be, okay, I'm in this relationship with you and I will never fuck anybody else until the day I die, I would be like, oh my God, I would end up being the cheating wife. Totally.
Wow.
And I don't do that. I love cheating wife scenes, but I am way more honest and blunt. I want to be seen and known for who I am.
I think that's absolutely beautifully said. And there's no reason for a lot of people to hide their fetish for a long time if they have that person that they can talk about. And if it's something that they do just before, like you're saying, a commitment, because going into a marriage, having an engagement, sharing a life with someone that you can't be open and honest with has got to be so difficult. I am very lucky that my husband, Jack, is also kinky as fuck. And we explore a lot of kinks and fetishes together. But I'll tell you, he's even got some fetishes that he's been in not fetishes, kinks, because fetishes you have to have all the time. Kinks are sporadic. He's got some kinky fantasies that he has that he's only shared with me a couple of times. So there are those really naughty, almost for him, taboo secrets that he will hide his fetish sometimes. And if you want to know, I'll even tell you because it's fucking hot.
Yes. I want to know.
Okay.
I hope he's not a fan of the podcast. Does he listen to the podcast?
Oh, he'll be so embarrassed, but you know, that's okay. But it was just,
that's good for him.
I think it's really important that people know that even though I'm kinky and do distance domination phone sex and basically can talk about sex and kink and fetishes for about 8 hours a day, even in my personal relationship, it's still a little, it's still always, I think, a work in progress. But here is his naughty fetish. He wrote to me. He didn't even tell me this. He emailed to me, which if you have difficulty talking to your partner, try an email exchange, an email back and forth. Set that up in your relationship so it's not strange. Share fantasies via email because it gives the partner a chance to look at, read, digest, and think. Whenever you're writing something, you can think about what you want to write. You can read over it. You can go back to it and change it. So,
and you don't have to look your partner in the eye.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's not as scary.
It feels safer. So anyway, Jack emailed me this amazing fantasy. And it was, he wanted to be blindfolded. Uh-huh. Tied up on a table. He wanted to have an unknown number of men jerking off in the room. And I would be directing them all, kind of humiliating him, calling him a slut, teasing him while I was doing this, having them all come and he would come fucking last. And it was just so interesting to me because he is what I would call heteroflexible. He sucked a cock for me once. We watch gay porn together from time to time, but I would never, never, never think of him being even bisexual. There's just a little fun, naughty flexibility. So I was really intrigued by his kinky fantasy. But I knew why he had to think of it as a secret fetish for a little while, even with me.
Yep. This is a hard, 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 no pun intended, conversation to have with your partner. You and I, because we do this for a living, we can probably have these conversations and ask the right questions and that kind of thing in our own personal lives. But it's easier said than done for other people, which is why we tell them, get advice from your mistress. I have actually done coaching. Here's what I suggest. You ask your girlfriend. Here's how you talk to your wife. And every single person that has actually done what I suggest has met with a level of success. She may not do it, but it hasn't completely blown up the relationship. Every single person that ignores my advice gets a lousy fucking outcome. So we're here. Get advice from us. We're the experts, right, Miss Delia?
Oh, yes, we are. We are sexperts for sure. And I think with you, Miss Olivia, and with me, the things that are the most important to us when we're speaking with a client, I know, and I can speak for us both, we want you to succeed. We want you to be able to safely enjoy your kink however you want to enjoy it. And so when we give you advice, we really truly think about what we are suggesting that you do because it works. And we really do want to spread good kink vibes. You shouldn't have to hide your fetish all the time. You should be able to talk to your partner about kink as often as you want. But we realize these things don't happen all the time easily. So let us advise you.
And let us help you negotiate whether or not to talk to your partner. Because I, for one, don't think it's a given. I don't think it's a given. I think it's probably better a lot of times to have this with your mistress and then have your other vanilla relationship separate. But feel free to reach out to either of us. We both answer our email. Delia is Delia@EnchantrixEmpire.com. I'm Olivia@EnchantrixEmpire.com. You can also interact with us on Twitter. I'm @MistressOlivia1 and Delia is @EmpressDelia. That's on Twitter. And then follow our blogs. Delia's is begformistress.com. Mine is experiencedmistress.com. There's all kinds of ways to reach out for us. We are here for you.
Yes, yes, we are. So true. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week on the Weekly Hotspot.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.